There can't be many places in the world where you sit and eat a meal at the same spot where they were serving customers 500 years ago. But Hasan Pasha Khan traces its history back to the 16th century, when the Kurdish city of Diyarbakir was a crucial stopping point on the trade routes from Europe to Asia. Nowadays, the Khan is a glorious open-air collection of restaurants and tea houses where people gather to chat and, of course, this being Turkey, to play backgammon. Life here is returning to some semblance of normality after protests last week left dozens dead. But people are still furious at the Turkish government for failing, they say, to support the besieged Kurds of Kobani over the border in Syria, and for actively preventing Kurds here from crossing into Syria if they want to help Kobani's people.
They are our people. They are our family. Kurdish people don't want to be killed anymore. Turkey must help them.
Can I ask you, why do you care so much about Kobani and what happens there?
In Kobani, people killed like ISIS very badly. They cut their heads. Turkey must protect them.
But the Turkish government says, look, this is another country. It would not be right for us to send soldiers across the border into Syria. It's not our business to do so.
But we can't say this. They are like us. They are Kurd, and we are Kurd too. Kobani's people isn't foreign for us.
It's hard to overstate the extraordinary sense of solidarity that people here feel towards the embattled Kurds across the border in Syria, way beyond the average loyalty you'd expect among ethnic kin. This is an emotional connection, born not just of a shared language or shared culture, but of the perception that Kurds everywhere have a shared history. A history, they'll tell you, of being persecuted and of being determined that this persecution should always be challenged.
The Turkish Kurds, they think that they have resisted, they are not defeated, they are not crushed. Resistance is their identity.
Murat Akinçler is coordinator of the think tank, the Diyarbakir Political and Social Research Institute.
The feeling of solidarity with other Kurds is stronger because of the fact that they are abandoned. Kurds, they are not supported by the European community, neither by the United States. They are following very closely what is going on in Kobani. This is a sentiment of sharing the same life of resistance.
Despite all these expressions of cross-border solidarity, Kurds within Turkey appear not to be quite so united. Dozens were killed in clashes with the police last week. But what many people here allege is that some of these were actually shot or beaten, not by the police themselves, but by Kurdish Islamists. The Islamists operate with impunity, they say, because the authorities here are quite happy for them to attack secular Kurdish protesters. It was a claim I heard from, among others, Dr. Selçuk Mizrakla, a leading surgeon, who also helps run the left-of-center umbrella organization DTK.
We know that 5 or 6 persons were killed by these kinds of Islamic groups. They are Kurdish people. They say, we will bring Sharia law to this country. And there are lots of reports that these kinds of groups were used by the policemen or by the intelligence groups of Turkey. For example, if the Islamic militants killed someone in this area, the policemen didn't find the murderers, but the central government closes their eyes.
The central government of Turkey has always denied this allegation of collusion, which goes back to the 1990s. The main group fighting for Kurdish rights then and now was the PKK, which styled itself as Marxist-Leninist. That didn't go down so well with Kurds of a more religious bent. They formed an armed Islamist faction, Turkish Hezbollah, which fought the PKK, leaving thousands dead. The idea of this conflict re-emerging has appalled people here, like the woman I talked to whose own family were victims of Hezbollah. She's worried enough about today's Islamists that she didn't want to give her name.
I was 6 years old when it happens. The Islamists killed my uncle when he was sitting and playing game with his friends. He and his 3 friends were killed together. So it hurts us a lot that Kurdish people are killing each other again. It's like a tragedy for us because we are going to same shop, we are talking the same language. So that's not understandable.
These days, the Kurdish Islamist militants are supposed to be on ceasefire, and they have their own political party, Huda Par. I visited the Huda Par offices on the outskirts of Diyarbakir and spoke there to the party's local president, Şianuz Tanrıkulu. He denied any suggestion that they were backed by the Turkish government and insisted it was the Islamists who were victims here, facing attack, he said, by their secular rivals.
Şimdi belki kendilerine göre demokratik bir hak olan.
It is a fundamental right of people to protest against the government, but it cannot be tolerated that these protesters attacked our political party offices and associations linked to us, madrasas, mosques. The idea is to eliminate all Islamic organizations, because the PKK is inspired by Marxist ideology and we are inspired by the Quran.
The militant group Hezbollah has threatened retaliation because of what it says are attacks on Islamists in the recent protests. What do you think of that threat by Hezbollah?
Şimdi biz siyasi bir partiyiz.
We are a political party and have called on our people to defend themselves. If Hezbollah threatens the PKK, that's between them. Self-defense is a fundamental right.
Temel insani bir hak olarak görüyoruz.
The prospect of looming conflict here seems reflected in the mournful traditional music. Dengbej, they call it, words sung without instruments, words which were written recently for this song about the suffering of Kobani and of Kurds everywhere. Watching the performance with me was Umut Suvari, head of a charity which provides cultural activities for local young people. Umut didn't seem like a natural doom-monger, but he's certainly worried now. If Kobani falls, he warns, Kurds here will blame the Turkish government for failing to help protect it. And at that point, he says, renewed violence on this side of the border is all too likely.
Most of the protesters in the streets are young people, and unfortunately, they've grown up in the violence. When we consider about their childhood, they lost many of their family members. They are full of the anger. If the Turkey doesn't take a right position for Kobani, even the Kurdish politicians or the Kurdish leaders will not be able to control the Kurdish youngsters, and they will fight for their whole life. What is waiting for them in the future?